Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Every Horror Movie on Netflix, the podcast where we watch, review, and discuss every horror movie on Netflix. I'm Patrick, and I'm back, as always, with my co-host, Allison with a Y.
Hey, everyone.
And as you all know, Allison with an I is currently in Italy right now, trying to hunt down a haunted dentist's office or something in Venice?
Supposedly a jewelry shop run by a vampire.
Haunted dentist shop. I was close enough.
Very close.
But in the absence of Allison with an I, appearing for the first time ever as a guest instead of as my former long-term co-host, it's Chris.
Hello.
You sound exactly like we remember you.
I was in a horrible accident, and now my voice sounds like this.
Well, fuck. Well, we invited you here today because we are watching, reviewing, and discussing Ziam. That's Z-I-A-M. And Chris, you are the closest person I know to being a martial arts expert in Muay Thai. Am I pronouncing that correctly? Muay Thai?
Muay Thai.
Muay Thai factors somewhat into this movie, but not as much as we thought it was going to.
Yeah, that shows what wimps we are, that I'm the closest thing we know to a martial arts expert.
You are a Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioner. What rank are you at this point? I have no idea.
I'm a blue belt, which is a little bit shameful for how long I've been doing it. And you know what? Jiu-jitsu is getting, since I started doing it in 2017, it's gotten more mainstream, and I think less cool. I'm seeing a lot more people like making fun of jiu-jitsu guys for being soft, and I totally understand why. There's like a lot more schools than there used to be. It's kind of like doing yoga for men now.
Well, we'll see if you can bring some unique perspective on this movie today. So Ziam, for a quick synopsis, Ziam is a portmanteau of zombie and Siam, which is the historical name of Thailand. And it takes place in a dystopian future where climate change has created extreme resource scarcity. We follow a former Muay Thai fighter named Singh who sets out to save his girlfriend, a doctor named Rin, when a zombie outbreak occurs at the hospital where she works. The zombies are the unintentional work of a corporate mogul named Mr. Vasu, who has found what he believes to be the first edible fish anyone has seen in some time. However, pathogens released from melting icebergs have infected the fish, turning those who eat it into zombies. Singh must work with Rin's co-worker Mink and Mink's son Buddy to find Rin before the government blows up the hospital to contain the outbreak.
What a film.
What a film. I mean, we might as well just get this out of the way right off the bat. You know, like in the Netflix summary, it references this guy being a Muay Thai fighter. In my synopsis, I described him as that. And so I think, you know, again, Chris, I invited you because I figured this was going to be wall-to-wall punching and kicking zombies in the head. It's really not. Like, Singh does not have a traditional weapon other than his body, but they're... I don't know. And maybe I just had the wrong expectation, but there's not actually really a lot of fighting in this movie.
Yeah, I'm really here under false pretenses.
Yeah, we lured you here.
I think I gotta go.
We'll have you here under the pretense of being our climate crisis expert instead. Mm.
Yeah, that works. I did appreciate that element.
Allison with a Y, I feel like you don't have the same take on the fighting as me.
I wasn't prepared for how much fighting there was.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Actually, it was a lot more action film than I was expecting it to be.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The problem that I had, you know, coming in, because I was, lured back here with like, oh, yeah, you can talk about, because I've always enjoyed talking about something besides the movie on this show. So I was like, yeah, it'll be great to talk about, the fighting or whatever. And yeah, there is a lot of fighting, but none of it is technical, and none of it is shot or edited in a really coherent way. This is not a martial arts film. And Patrick, I think you thought that the lead actor was a known martial artist.
Not even close. I did think that initially.
His Wikipedia says that he's trained judo before, which is something. But yeah, this is not a movie that was made to show off anybody's martial arts talent. In fact, it was a movie made where they were like, let's cut this a lot so you can't see that these people don't have martial arts talent. I've been watching John Wick lately. That's what I've been doing in my time off. And even that, is shot so you appreciate that they're doing martial arts and Keanu Reeves is hip throwing people and doing jiu-jitsu and all this stuff. And it's very fun to watch if you have some background in this stuff, because he's actually doing it and they want you to appreciate that he's actually doing it in those movies. This, it was just a mess, man.
Yeah, our very first action scene doesn't involve zombies at all. It's just Singh on a supply run. He's like a truck driver. They get ambushed by some guys and he's, punching everybody in sight. And almost immediately I was like, oh, we don't really know how to shoot a fight scene, do we? Like the specific moment was there was like a random drone shot inserted into it where the drone was kind of like zooming towards the truck, but it was all of 2 seconds. And I was like, you brought a drone out and got all this footage for this little teeny bit of connective tissue. It was just such an odd choice. And there weren't a lot that were as sort of glaring as that, but what I like about watching a martial arts movie is obviously incredible fighting skill and somebody who can actually shoot and edit it so that you can clearly tell what's going on in the fight. And this did not have the second element for sure.
No.
And it sounds like they didn't have the technical side either. I didn't notice any incredible skill in the fighting, but it sounds like it was not. What do you mean when you say it's not very technical?
I am not a Muay Thai or a kickboxing expert by any means, but like I said, it was not shot or edited in a way where you could really appreciate the striking skill. And then a few times when there was grappling, which I am familiar with, it was not real grappling. There's a scene late in the movie where he's fighting like a SWAT commander, and the SWAT commander has him mounted. He's on the ground and the guy's kneeling basically on top of him over his abdomen. And I'm like, okay, I know this, and I know what the basic escape for it is, and I'm looking forward now to seeing him do it, because it's, I could teach you to do it, Patrick, if we were making a movie. I'm like, of course he's going to sweep this guy, but instead he just kind of pushed him with his arms, and he jumped off of him, and then he got up, and it was not realistic at all, I think, only having seen it once at speed.
And then I think he just punches him once and kind of ends the fight. That moment also struck me as rather odd.
Yeah. But I was, let me just get the fighting stuff out of the way and then I'll have nothing more to contribute. So Muay Thai is a Thai style of kickboxing. And what distinguishes it from other styles of kickboxing, it's signature elements are elbows and knees are allowed and encouraged, which is not true of, say, obviously boxing or some other kickboxing forms. And then also clinching. So in boxing, a clinch is a defensive move. You've seen this if you've ever watched a boxing fight. They're punching each other and someone will kind of throw himself and hug the guy. And that keeps the guy from being able to hit him with power, because you need space to generate power on a punch. And also, makes the guy carry your weight for a second. And in boxing, they will, the referee then comes in and splits the guys apart, because we're not here to. So if you're getting your ass beat in a boxing fight, sometimes if you can get a clinch, you can slow down the fight, get some separation, kind of start over. So you see this a lot in boxing and stuff like that. MMA, UFC stuff, that is totally different. They don't stop the clinch. But in Muay Thai, the clinch is an offensive weapon where you're clinching people, you're grabbing them, and there's various clinches, but the most signature clinch in Muay Thai is grabbing the head, you're doing a collar tie where you're both of your hands are around their neck, and then you're trying to knee them in the body, or if you can drive their head down, knee them in the eye socket. So when I saw that this was a zombie movie about a Muay Thai fighter, I was like, I don't know if that's a good combination because you don't really want to clinch a zombie, especially with a collar tie and your forearms in front of the guy's jaw, right? Mm-hmm. So I was really curious to see how that was going to work. And the answer is this guy's just punching and kicking people for the whole movie. And there's one moment in that fight with the thieves early on where I noticed him do an actual Muay Thai clinch. But no, he's just kept punching and kicking people, man.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up because I was watching it and it kind of took me out of it. So I was like, if he's getting this much contact with these zombies, it feels very likely that he would become infected because, you know, you get a little wound on your hand from punching someone in the face, get that zombie blood on you, boom, infected.
Especially knees and shin strikes and elbows and stuff that cut people more and cut you more. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe he Vaselined himself up before he went to the hospital. 'Cause that's what fighters will do to, like, reduce the friction on themselves so they get cut less.
Oh, interesting. So, I mean, before we move on to other elements that aren't the fighting, like, Allison, you said that there was more action, more fighting than you anticipated. How did you respond to that? Was that a positive or a negative, I guess?
Neutral. I wasn't upset about it. I was just like, oh, I guess I wasn't expecting this much fighting. Fighting also felt really chaotic, and Chris is helping me understand why it felt so chaotic. Mm-hmm. There was a lot that I didn't understand about the choreography of the fighting. And I'm glad to know I'm not crazy, even though I don't know jack shit about really any martial arts. I took a karate class for like 2 years as like a small child and that's it. So, you know, I don't really know much. But I was watching it and I was like, this just doesn't feel, not that it's ever like super realistic, but it somehow felt less realistic in a lot of ways. Also, I'm not a big like fighting person. I don't enjoy watching a lot of fights on screen. It's not super fun for me personally.
You just want them to talk out their problems with the zombie.
No. Okay.
Just talk this through.
No. No. Thank you. No, I want them like far away from the zombie as possible and like sniping. Blasting their heads in, you know?
Oh, you want like the American Sniper zombie crossover?
That's called 28 Weeks Later.
You want Chris Kyle going up against the zombies.
There's too much that from what I know about zombies and I know about transmission with zombies, it just didn't make much sense to me.
No, that makes sense. I was excited about this idea because, you know, I do love a good fight scene. I'm not crazy about zombies, but I was like, yeah, sure. Give me a movie where it's just a martial arts dude kicking and punching zombies all movie. But it, I mean, not only did it require a little more skill on both the martial art and filmmaking level, as we've discussed already, but I also think it just requires kind of a completely different tone. That's an inherently ridiculous fucking concept, and you have to play it with a little more of a wink and a nod, I think, for this to work.
Yeah, this film was very sincere.
Yeah.
Which, from a storytelling standpoint, I'm not upset about.
Yeah.
But I don't know if sincerity is what's called for if you're making a martial arts zombie film.
Yeah, and I mean, that was the area where it caught me off guard in a good way, because, yeah, there is this very sincere story of this guy trying to rescue his girlfriend. There's this Mr. Banku-like Moppet who was fucking adorable, loved the relationship between him and Singh. There were several emotional beats in this that really caught me off guard, and I felt at least somewhat moved, which I did not expect to get out of this movie.
I was not moved. I mean, I don't know. This was It was just, I thought all the action was stupid. And yeah, like the sincerity stuff I didn't think was well executed enough to make up for the lost opportunity of this being a more fun or silly movie. Especially because, you know, again, we went in under false pretenses. It's like, oh, this is about a Muay Thai guy fighting zombies. That sounds fun. And then you start watching the movie and like the first scene is the girlfriend or the wife being like, I wish you'd stop doing Muay Thai, which is like, okay, but like, I don't know. It's there wasn't a lot. It prioritized the wrong thing. I think it prioritized the sincere stuff, which was in my view executed maybe even worse than the action stuff. But
interesting,
but it worked on, it worked for you. So who am I to say?
I think like maybe the biggest failure is just in marketing or blurbing it. Like, frankly, leave the Muay Thai out of it. or maybe someone should have done that once they saw the final cut of this and been like, okay, like maybe we don't put Muay Thai in the, you know, essentially the log line for this. It's just not as big of a thing as I guess you would expect it to be. And I mean, I don't think that necessarily makes the movie any better. It's just the movie creates some odd expectations that are not really delivered on. And it delivers other stuff that you're not expecting whatsoever. But obviously your mileage may vary on the other stuff.
You should start it with the guy fighting in the ring.
Yeah.
And he's fighting some badass who kicks his ass. And that's why the girlfriend is like, you got to stop doing this. Instead, like, yeah, he gets like slightly beat up after fighting 20 guys who are like trying to steal his granola bar shipment, his bug bar shipment, which we can get into later. And then of course the guy who beats his ass in the ring comes back as a zombie and he has to fight him again.
Oh,
that's a great idea.
Oh. Yeah.
We're back to Chris rewriting the movie.
Yeah, yeah, I thought, because like the scene that established him as a fighter, you know, with that whole like trying to pick up some kind of delivery or whatever situation, and all like these randos that he fights, it was a kind of a weird establishment scene for who he was. I understand what they were trying to do, but it kind of fell short in doing much of anything other than being like, this dude can kick some ass. And even then it's kind of questionable because you're not really seeing anything super impressive happening. There's just a lot of people who can't fight going up against him.
Right. That is exactly what I was just about to say, because you don't have a sense of any of the guys he's fighting being really that much of a threat.
Right.
There's not even, you know, it's an action trope, but you know, you wind up with like your boss at some point. But it's just a bunch of guys who seem fairly ineffective at fighting. So it's not particularly impressive. The other thing that I kind of, I guess, was expecting out of this that I didn't get whatsoever is I assumed the zombie apocalypse would already be well underway when this starts.
Yeah.
And maybe that even our introduction to this guy would be him taking out a bunch of zombies. But no, there's like this rather long wind up to that finally happening, which I guess might be an interesting surprise or something if you didn't know. But again, like it's clear that this is a zombie movie. I don't know. There's at least a half hour of the movie before a zombie appears.
And it's weird that, you know, this movie, in the movie, is where you basically see Patient Zero in the initial outbreak, because we're already in like kind of a post-apocalyptic world.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so why not just establish it with both things already in play?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because it is this post-apocalyptic scenario that would be interesting, kind of fertile breeding ground for horror in its own right, even without zombies, actually. And then the zombies are kind of grafted onto it as well. It's almost kind of trying to do too much in an hour and 36 minutes.
Right. Can we talk about the origin of the outbreak?
I actually like this stuff. Obviously I like the climate change stuff that they put in. But then also I did like seeing the origins of the outbreak. I always am interested in that in movies. it's more horrifying for me to see things get out of hand in a permanent way in a zombie outbreak than to just come into it once the whole world's zombies and everybody's dead already. So I did like that. And I did like that it was on such a microcosm, too, where it's like it's one hospital. And for all we know, and I think it's implied that that's the extent of the outbreak, you know. So there's a meeting. It's like a James Bond villain meeting.
Yeah.
At a second location that I don't think is the hospital, where you see the main, like, he's not a villain, but like you see the corporate guy who controls everything because he invented the system for turning bugs into granola bars to keep the population alive during the climate crisis.
This is Mr. Basu that you're talking about.
Mr. Basu. Mr. Basu's wife is like in
Vasu,
a coma.
With a V. With a
Basu.
V.
Okay.
Yeah.
She has some kind of condition where she's just like apparently like burning blood like gasoline because they got to keep her blood bag full.
Yeah.
Dude, I was curious about that. I was like, okay. I mean, you can be in a coma, and I don't know why you would need regular blood transfusions after like 5 years unless you lost blood somehow.
Right. They just keep pumping it into her.
Maybe they're trying to leech her.
Maybe.
We don't know this yet at the James Bond meeting, but she needs this like fish liver or something to reverse her condition. Now, the ecology is fucked. So the like all the fish are poisonous because they're full of like bacteria that came out of the melted ice caps, which is a detail I loved.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. But you see this number two guy, and I read it as like they're just celebrating like a big merger, and he's like, no, look, we have good fish now. We swear it's fucking clean. Like, you gotta eat this fish. We solved bugs, and now we solve fish. And I thought it was just like a celebration about that, and they were all gonna go into business together about something else. Maybe it was like, oh, we found this miracle cure for this condition that only our boss's wife has, but I don't know. But yeah, he eats it, and he's like, oh, it's so good. Oh, I'm a zombie.
Yeah. The transformation is instant.
Yeah. And people are like, haven't even taken their first bite yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we don't know. I don't think they show us if like all those guys turned into zombies. I assume they would, or if it was just something about this one guy.
Yeah, that's true. That's weird. That's a good point. And I mean, it's like, did we not test this fish whatsoever before rolling it out at this meeting? You know, and who knows? Maybe they're keeping that in their back pocket for Zyam too, that like somebody was infected even before this meeting or something. But it doesn't add up.
But it comes from the fish. The zombie virus comes from the fish. And I had the same thought. I think Allison mentioned it. Like, there's so much blood in this movie and so many people getting cut and stuff. I'm like, what's the transmission of this thing?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, you know what? It comes from the fish, and like you see, like there's some fish anatomy involved later on. I'm like, maybe they have to bite you. Maybe it's like the fish reproduces through its venomous bite or something.
Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah, I did like the kind of climate change apocalypse trappings of all that. Like, honestly, talking about horror, like, probably the scariest stuff in the movie to me, because it all seemed incredibly plausible. Right down to the fact that, you know, this guy, Mr. Basu, of course there's some fucking billionaire, whatever, who has come up with, you know, a bright idea of how to feed everybody, but of course he controls it. And it is interesting, you know, Chris, you said he's not a villain, and then his portrayal is odd in this because there's some very creepy kind of propagandistic banners and posters around of him, you know, as sort of like a benevolent father helping everybody get through this situation, which to me read villain, but he's kind of more, I guess, ambiguous, even verging towards a sympathetic character once we actually meet him in person in the hospital.
Yeah, he's not overtly evil. I would argue that he is evil because he clearly has a lot of resources.
Mm-hmm.
and in that world, most people do not. But in his actions, yeah, he's sympathetic. He is just focused on his wife and trying to help her get better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's nothing about his personality that we see on screen that's like, oh, yeah, this is a horrible person.
Yeah.
And I liked that because I think it's just a little bit of a realistic portrayal as opposed to like creating these kind of like monsters out of the villains or whatever, that they're just inherently like evil people and everything they do is for evil purposes and that's like their one goal in mind, where it's just like he's just some dude who knows, maybe part of why he is so wealthy is because he like got desperate enough to try to make all of this money to help his wife. Who knows?
Mm. Billionaires are people too.
Well, debatable.
Yeah. And we don't even know if he's a billionaire. We don't know how rich he is. I mean, clearly he's important. Clearly he's wealthy and influential. But like, he's just a guy. We don't see him, like Allison said, we don't see him doing anything awful. The bigger villain is probably the government, because the government has no mm-hmm. qualms about sniping and shooting people to contain the situation. They make a plan to destroy the entire hospital and kill everybody inside. And then, of course, they're like, oh, but wait, Mr. Vazu is in there. We're going to send SEAL Team 6 to extract him before we blow up the hospital because he's a rich guy.
Yeah, the calculus of blowing up the hospital is somebody's like, what's the population of Thailand? Someone's like, 5 million. And someone else is like, how many people are in the hospital? 500. Okay, that's a tiny percentage of the population. Let's get it done. But then when they find out that Mr. Vasu's in there, different story. We got to get him out before it blows. There's a ticking clock element to this. And I was impressed that the final act of this starts at 30 minutes, and it actually is on the dot 30 minutes. It's real time, I guess, at the end of this. That was surprising to me, because I love when there's a countdown clock like that in a movie. I always like to check the runtime and see how accurate or not, how fast and loose it's playing with time.
Like Nick of Time.
That is in real time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's they play a little fast and loose with it, but its gimmick is it's real time.
You know, touching back on the climate disaster element of this, I did one element that I really appreciated about the world building was how their main source of food is insects, because there's a lot of people who say like, we're probably not to get grim, but as climate disasters become more plentiful and, you know, climate change and all of that stuff, like we will probably become more reliant on bugs as a source of food, because they are one of like the best kind of renewable resources for protein.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I feel like we're not going to be able to do that because the insect populations have collapsed so much. I mean, I guess you can probably raise a bunch of worms in a bunch of like cornmeal or something, and then we can eat the worms. I think you're going to have the same problem we have with animal agriculture today, which is that it takes so many pounds of cornmeal to raise a pound of bug, and you feed more people if you just give them the cornmeal.
Yum, yum, yum.
Very good.
Cheerful. You can't, it's one of the laws of thermodynamics, right? Like you're going to lose energy from turning the raw material into cornmeal into bug and then eating the bug than if you just ate
my the understanding is bugs take far less energy than animals, like per calorie or whatever.
Oh yeah, than the big animals for sure. Yeah, but it still might be more efficient to eat the plants.
Well, we'll find out.
I'm just engaging in vegan propaganda right now.
I was going to say, Chris, this is very you trying to get your vegan agenda.
Watch all these guys. When this shit happens, there's going to be podcasts where it's like, you're just not going to be healthy without a cricket-based diet. You know, only crickets give you all the amino acids you need to build muscle.
There's definitely going to be like powders if there aren't already. Just made of crickets.
I also found the portrayal of Thailand's kind of status in the global climate crisis in this movie to be kind of interesting, because they're like, and I don't know how true this is in real life, but they said, because this is in the reality of the movie, in the dialogue of the movie, they say something along the lines of, because Thailand never really engaged with other countries from like a trading sort of perspective, we had an abundance of natural resources, so we did kind of have a leg up on the rest of the world. Which, I mean, things are looking fucking rough in Thailand, regardless, mm-hmm. in the movie, but still kind of interesting, that little bit of nationalist pride that came mm-hmm. through there, which I also learned because I was looking up, I know Siam is an archaic term, but I have no idea how or why. It was known as that for centuries. It's a Sanskrit word, and they changed the name to Thailand, I think, in the 1930s. And it means land of the free. And that's because they have a lot of pride as a nation in never having been colonized by Europeans, which is another fun fact that I didn't know.
Good for them.
Yeah, good for them. Exactly. So anyways, that kind of combined with, again, the portrayal of Thailand as sort of a, I don't know if I want to say like a lone survivor, but just as a country that is doing well relatively mm-hmm. in the climate crisis was kind of interesting to me.
I would love to go someday.
Me too. Mm-hmm. It's high on my list of dream destinations.
It's where they shot The Man with the Golden Gun.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
That's interesting. Like, in its entirety or just sequences?
No, just like the end when he goes to Christopher Lee's base and there's all the beautiful lagoons and the rock outcroppings and things.
Interesting.
Probably I need to get married though before I go to Thailand, or people are going to start asking questions about what I'm doing over there. gotta bring my wife on that trip.
Well, do we have anything else to discuss here before we go down to the spoiler room and dig into all the spoilers of Siam?
I can't think of anything else.
I don't think I have anything else. No, I think it's time to spoil the damn thing.
All right. Well, before we spoil it, we gotta review it. So, Chris, you're the guest today, so we'll let you kick us off. View it, cue it, or screw it for Siam.
Absolutely screw this one. I did not like this. This was horrible to me. This was so bad. It's not a worse movie, but if you're looking for something to watch on Netflix, I might even recommend The Open House before you watch this one.
Whoa.
Just because this was just so uninteresting to me. And I'm going to forget about it tomorrow. It's just a bunch of fast cuts, punch zombies. You've seen all this before. I thought it took the most obvious routes at every juncture for a zombie movie, except maybe the last 45 seconds, which were just kind of annoying. this was not a good time. I found very little to like in this movie. I was waiting for it to end almost as soon as it began. Screw it.
I am shook that you would potentially rank it even lower than The Open House, because you've repeatedly referred to the Open House as like by far the worst, I think the worst thing you watched for the show ever, right?
It is. but I think it's maybe a little interesting for that reason. Whereas this, it's like, God, if you've never seen a zombie movie before, then cue it. But you have, you've seen all this shit before. If I never see a guy going, rah, rah, it'll be too soon. Allison, with a Y. Would you view it, cue it, or screw it?
I have to give this one a low cue it. I didn't love it. I didn't loathe it. I feel like there was enough interesting, well-thought elements to like the story itself. And I liked the performances of the main characters. The things that were a little bit more heartfelt, surprise, I liked. So that's why I have to give it a cue it, but it's a low cue it, because it's like there wasn't a lot for me with this movie. But I don't think it's objectively a bad movie. So that's why I can't say screw it. Patrick, view it, cue it, or screw it?
I'm going to go cue it as well, actually. This discussion has made me definitely feel more negatively about the movie. I was at a cue it to begin with, and maybe it's just also degraded to a lower cue it, because there is a lot that's messy about this. You know, as we talked about, the fighting stuff just doesn't quite work or land. And if this movie had been just 90 minutes of that, terrible. Mm. But it did give me like some human drama that I was surprisingly invested in. And we'll talk a bit more about that in the spoiler room, because of course the bigger emotional moments are fairly spoilery. But there was stuff that I actually found surprisingly moving. And so it was enough for me to kind of write off the malpractice in some of the action staging. I don't know. It's a fucking weird one, though. And it's another one where I'm like, I both treasure and regret that this podcast gives me the opportunity to experience such an odd melange as this.
Odd melange.
You're going to have people put this in their queue?
Actually, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I can get behind it, actually. You have to know that it's not going to be a good fighting movie. It's not a martial arts movie, really. But it works, at least for me, on other levels. All right, so we are going to go to the spoiler room and talk about all the spoilers for Zayam. But before we do that, I will remind you, as always, go to our website, everyhorrormovieonnetflix.com. We've got every episode of the podcast out there for you to browse through. We've got a merch store where you can find all kinds of apparel and goodies with Every Horror Movie on Netflix art on them. And we would also love for you to connect with us on social media.
You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Blue Sky, YouTube at Amoncast, EHMONcast. And you can also find us on TikTok at Amon Podcast.
We also have a lovely Discord community that we would love for you to join. We've got folks from all over the world out there talking about our podcast and all the other horror things that they're taking in. We have really fun discussions out there, and we'd love for you to jump in with us. So you can find a link to that in the show notes. And lastly, please review us on your podcast provider of choice. We love seeing that feedback, and it helps people find the show. All right. Are you guys ready to climb the stairs to the spoiler rooftop? Get in the spoiler helicopter that's going to carry us away from Zayam.
I'm so ready.
All right, let's go. Let's do it. All right, we are back. We have climbed the stairs to the spoiler roof of the hospital, and we have 30 minutes. No, let's make it 20 minutes. We all got bedtime. We got 20 minutes before this spoiler hospital blows, and we got to get out of here. So, I mentioned Mink in the synopsis before. We have not talked about her since then. But this was one of the early emotional moments for me in the movie. And frankly, I think so much of it rides on the actor, because she has like fucking, what, three scenes or something? Yeah. Maybe, at most. It might just be two. Yeah. But she's, you know, Rin's friend. She brings her adorable Mr. Banku child, Buddy. To the hospital to work with her, which, I mean, I raised an eyebrow at, but also, whatever, it's the apocalypse. So, yeah, I guess you take your kid to work at the hospital. Singh runs into Buddy while he's trying to find Rin. They eventually find Mink, who seems kind of shook, and it takes a minute or so. Of course, she's been fucking bitten by a zombie already. And, you know, whatever. You see this scenario play out in a million zombie movies where somebody makes a sacrifice because they've been bitten, or has to make a hard decision because they've been bitten. But it fucking worked for me. Her having to tell her kid to walk away with Singh because she's on the verge of turning. You know, as Chris said before, there's a lot of kind of hackneyed tropes, zombie tropes in this movie. And frankly, this sure is one of them. But I thought the actor killed it. Actually, both of them did. The little kid was actually very, very good, too.
Yeah, I thought that performance was really effective. That also kind of got me
She's in the neonatal unit, too, when she transforms, which the camera pulls back and shows her transforming next to a bunch of babies.
And then we don't get to see her eat the babies.
Oh, no, I know. When she said that she had to look after the babies, I was like, excuse me, what? Like, you're going to stay with the babies knowing that you're about to turn into this monster?
That's a good point, actually. She should have been like, please get me to the fucking bathroom or something and lock me in.
Somebody like, you know, absolutely cave my head in so I can't become a zombie.
Yeah.
Since the day she got hired, she's been thinking about eating those babies, and she just found another reason to do it. An excuse. Perfect excuse.
Christ.
But yeah, I don't know. It was the best scene in the movie, I would say.
Yeah.
It didn't really turn the dial for me. I did, I guess, appreciate... I'm not sure if I've seen that specific scene before where it's like... I don't know. Parents turn into zombies all the time, but the fact that the kid was there in such close proximity and had to say goodbye and was kind of watching it, I'm not sure if I've seen that before. I feel like I've seen like the kid turn into a zombie more often, and then the parents like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Definitely haven't seen a zombie transforming in a neonatal unit before. Though,
no, so. That's new.
No, that's new. But don't take me halfway there, and you don't get points for that being new if you don't show me the babies getting eaten. Or just like a little bit, like a Lucy Wisterna thing, where like they look in through the window and she's like coming down from the incubator thing, and there's like a
like a what thing?
Oh, Lucy Wisterna, the woman in Dracula.
Oh.
Westenra.
She becomes the bloofer lady, and she's eating the children, and she's like, oh my God, and she comes and she's got her baby. You know, you can imply eating a baby without like showing me eating the baby, and it's still spooky, ooky.
Sure. Yeah. No, I agree with that.
Don't just show me the CGI baby and then cut away from it.
Yeah, the CGI baby, that was weird.
CGI? I didn't
know. Oh, yeah.
It was like the dancing baby from 2000.
Oh, ooga chaka, ooga chaka.
I thought I was watching Ally McBeal.
Zally McBeal. Well, once the SWAT team has entered the building to rescue Mr. Vasu, a fire breaks out because I think Singh lights somebody on fire, right? Oh, yeah, the SWAT guy, I think, right, turns into a zombie. The SWAT guy that Chris referenced earlier in the sort of implausible fight that happened. And I mean, this is the boss fight of the movie. Like, the biggest threat in the movie is the SWAT team leader and not a zombie. And then the SWAT team leader comes back as a zombie and becomes the second boss. I don't know. That was also a little odd and disorienting to me. I'm like, again, I'm here to see a guy fight zombies, not like fight a normal human SWAT.
I like that. That was my second favorite part of the movie.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Why?
I don't know. Cause it was like a extended fight sequence that with one boss figure, and he was human and then he was zombie. And I liked that he had to fight a human guy amidst all the zombies. And it was a different kind of fight where it wasn't just like punch kick, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. And here's Patrick rewrites the movie, I guess, but I just, the more interesting version of this concept that I found intriguing is, I think, a la The Last of Us or something, you have various types of zombies that pose different challenges to our hero as far as how he has to fight them. And, you know, it's just a series of boss battles. I mean, I was expecting something as like balls to the wall, nonstop action, as like The Raid Redemption or something like that, where the movie is just fighting. I wanted him to, you know, kick a bloater in the face, kick a clicker in the face. Speaking of The Last of Us, the zombie noises in this sounded like they ripped them off the soundtrack from The Last of Us. Like, the clicker noises were seemed exactly the same, which was interesting. Anyways, the SWAT team leader comes back as a zombie, Singh lights him on fire, and this triggers the sprinklers in the building, which leads us to learn something new about the zombies, which is, like gremlins, when they get wet,
it gets worse.
They become even more fucked up. They like immediately grow, like they turn into Joker. They grow Joker grins.
They grow fish face.
Yes.
They turn into like monkfish people.
Yes.
Piranha people, basically.
Yeah, they got that, like, because I think early in the film we see what's, I don't know if it's a monkfish or an anglerfish, but it's like a deep sea, gnarly ass looking fish with like one of them big toothy mouths. I mostly think about that from the anglerfish, but, you know, could be something else. But yeah, they get that big toothy, pointy teeth mouths, like wide.
Oh, their teeth like triple in size.
Yeah. Yeah. And like they get like very, very, very pointy. And I was like, that's, I don't know. Okay. I kind of liked that choice.
I did too.
Like the, that connection to the fish, get the zombie wet, turns more fish-like.
Which it was stupid, but I liked it.
It was stupid, but it was like kind of fun.
Yeah.
And it made me wonder about, okay, well, the fish, the like fish that they could eat that they found, did they just find deep sea fish that they thought was untouched by climate disaster, and it, little did they know that they were mutants.
At first I thought you were gonna say you thought that the fish that they served was actually a human who had been infected by a fucked up fish way longer ago.
No.
And so they were actually eating zombie fish human instead of fish.
No. But that would have been interesting, but I don't think that was even remotely implied.
No. No. But I thought that was the theory you were about to sketch out.
I would have liked the prologue scene where they pull up the crate, the cage, and they have the fish inside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, we have fish. These are the fish Dr. What's his name wanted for his wife.
And, Mr. Basu. Like,
Basu.
Yeah,
but they're looking at, they're looking straight, all the fish are looking straight to camera.
But yeah, I mean, this is a silly development, but I did enjoy it. The visual was cool, mm-hmm. and actually was also rather original. I can't say I've seen this in particular.
Honestly, it made the zombies scarier. Like, I was like, yeah. I'm legitimately scared of this. I don't want to look at this. I don't like it.
Right, because we've seen zombies a million times, but we've never seen Joker piranha Joker fish zombies. Yeah.
This is one of those movies where it's like, I want to make a zombie movie. And he's raising money to make a zombie movie, but like one of the guys he's trying to get money from is like really into the ocean.
Really? Like has a hyper fixation on anglerfish.
Yeah. Yeah, he goes to his house to ask him for money and he sees all the fish decor and he's like, you know, and there's fish in it. There's fish in it.
Give us your money.
Did James Cameron chip in on this movie?
I think it would be a better movie if James Cameron had his name on it. It would be at least as good as Terminator Dark Fate.
That's a low bar to clear.
They get me to watch him because James Cameron does a 30-second clip where he's like, this is the sequel to Terminator 2 I was going to make. And it's just dog shit.
This is the one. They did it right this time.
Yeah. I watched this for the first time and I said, this is better than what I could do. It's like, no. It's obscene.
Regardless, I mean, obviously, I don't have the faith in James Cameron that you do, but I do think this would have been a better movie had Cameron been involved.
It's just anything with some creativity or something I haven't seen before. What about, like, he's fighting the human SWAT guy, like a big human versus human fight? What if a zombie walks into that fight and now they're like, they stop fighting each other to kill the zombie.
Gotta team up. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like the SWAT guy like throws him a gun to shoot the zombie. And then they go back to fight. And he's like, I'm not going to shoot the guy with the gun he just threw me. So he drops the gun and they go back to fighting. I'm putting that in a movie I make.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I mean, they probably need a script for Zyam too, because we're about to get to that. They're definitely right. Gunning for that. Well, anyways, running from all these Joker fish zombies, Rin and Buddy make it up to the roof. Sing is still behind, fighting a bunch of zombies. There's a helicopter on the roof waiting to get people out. And the, you know, army guys in the helicopter are like, we gotta go. Rin's like, no, please wait. Just give us 5 minutes. The guy who helped us get out is right behind us. He's going to be right here. Meanwhile, Sing is in a car in the parking garage of the hospital, being absolutely swarmed.
This part made no sense to me.
No, yeah,
right.
None.
Thank you.
10, 15 zombies are all over this car. They're busting through the windows. He is absolutely overwhelmed. He has no space to maneuver because he's in a fucking car.
The car blows up. And
for reasons unknown.
For reasons unknown. And you pan around, you see all these zombies blown to pieces. And guess who fucking survives?
By going under the car somehow, but that we just saw surrounded by zombies. There's no way out of this
that
car.
That blew up. Like, I just... Okay, whatever. He survives the explosion, crawls out, and then tries to make his way to the helicopter, but it's too late. It's taking off without him.
I just feel like we need to linger on this car for another moment. It is such a bizarre moment. How does it explode? How did he get out of the car? You know, whatever. Characters escape from unlikely jams all the time in movies, but this
one really pushed
beyond
it.
The pale. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, like, literally, after we started to see him crawl out, I was like, how? I think, like, I yelled something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember Taken 3.
No, I've tried to forget it.
His Taken's car goes off the cliff and, like, explodes. And, like he's dead. He was in that car. And then he, like, shows back up. And it's like, how did he survive? And they show a flashback to that scene where the car, but, like, it shows him, like, jumping out of the car when he absolutely absolutely did not the first time he saw it, but there's like a second take that they show you in flashback where he's like jumping out of the car.
Right, and this doesn't even have that, like, it doesn't even attempt to explain how this happened, because there's just no way.
I think the same editor did this movie, though. This the whole editing of this movie was very much Taken jumps a fence.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. But yeah, in the midst of this whole car bomb situation, he's run out the 5 minutes that he had for the helicopter. And he gets up to the roof, and Rin is, like, just sobbing, like, reaching out to him, like, screaming at them, like, please, please, like, go back. And it's clear that that's not happening because the building is about to blow. And so he takes on a final horde of zombies with a saw of some sort. Does anybody have any insight on how he got this saw suddenly?
Nope. Okay. It's a power tool of some sort. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Which also is a little odd because, like, this movie has sort of hyper-fixated on him doing everything with his bare hands and feet, whatever, and all of a sudden he has a weapon. And actually a cool weapon. Like, I was into it. It's a small little circular saw, so he's just whipping it around, punching people and, you know, carving them up. That was cool. I was into that.
Well, there's, like, an amount of lingering and dawdling here where it's like I didn't believe that he couldn't get on the helicopter. And it was, like, sort of implied, like, he can't get on the helicopter because he has to fight this horde of zombies. But he was between the horde of zombies and the helicopter. He probably could have just gotten on the helicopter, or at least cling to the rail as it was, like, taking off or something.
Could have at least tried.
Well, frankly, that was what I was expecting, Chris. I was expecting him to do, like, a Captain America thing and, like, do this super heroic leap off the building and grab onto the helicopter. Yeah, yeah. I was fully expecting that, but no, the building just fucking blows up. I was into, you know, whatever. Again, I think there are some decent actors in this, and I was into Rin and Singh, like, reaching out to each other and being sad. That worked. That's fine. But this is not the end. The movie ends, and then 5 seconds into the credits, it's not even a post-credits.
Because they know you're mid-credits. About to turn this shit off and go to bed as quickly as possible.
Right.
You're not going to, this isn't a movie where you watch it and then you linger with the credits and take in the vibe and think about it.
But yeah, almost immediately we have a post-mid-credits, whatever scene, where Singh pops out of something.
It looks like a fucking NASA space pod.
It does. It looks like a capsule of some sort, which I did not see anything like that visible on the roof. Do you have any insight into what he was in?
No, I think he was just in debris. I don't know.
But he was like, He pops out of like a circular door, kind of like for a washing machine or something.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah, it's very like Indiana Jones fridge kind of deal.
And what I mean, I was thinking of too.
Like, just to be clear, if you haven't watched the movie, he is on top of a building that collapses in a fiery inferno, 9/11 style, like every fucking building in every movie has for the past 24 years. Like, again, it's like the car thing. There's no way.
He was unscathed like that Bible they found and after 9/11.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Found a Bible in perfect condition. There were all sorts of, you know, chain emails about it after 9/11. Of course. Someone was looking out for that Bible.
That was the thing that they needed to save, you know?
Yeah. Hmm. But yeah, anyways, seems like we're gunning for a Zim 2 here, and you know, and who knows? It's the classic Netflix question: like, did this do well enough? I think it was somehow number one on the Netflix chart at some point, at least according to the Wikipedia article, which is written by someone who is really trying to go to bat for the movie as hard as they can. But we'll see. We'll see.
Here's my problem with this movie. Like, we can talk about the sincerity and that being one of the attributes, but like, I don't think it's a complete movie, even on like a character level or anything like that. Like, did the guy, I don't know, I'm forgetting something. Did he save his girlfriend or wife? Because she was pretty independent for most of the movie, right?
Yes.
Presumably, yeah, because he, as like the zombies are all like chasing them as they're on their way up to the helicopter pad, and he's like trying to basically save Rin and Buddy some time.
Yeah, he's certainly helping throughout. She is definitely way more capable than I expected she was going to be.
Yeah, for sure.
And also, like, I fully expected her to be a nurse, and credit to them for making her a doctor. So that's fine.
Gonna get canceled for that one.
Canceling's canceled.
I get what you're saying, though, Chris. Like, you know, they talk about going to Jiangdao, I think, and that was not really established what the significance of that place was that they were, I guess, sort of trying to retire to. I can't imagine anywhere is going to be significantly better than the city that they're in, given like the sort of world that's been built here.
Just the thing with her ring. She has the ring, and she's wearing it like a... I think that's actually the last scene of the movie, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's something that happens in real life or something that Sing envisions or what. I just... There's a lot of, like, stuff, and maybe it's, you know, makes more sense if you're in Thailand and you know some of these cultural references. Yeah. But I did not understand. I just didn't get it. There was nothing, like... There was no character development where I was like, oh, that's nice. That makes sense. Like, you know, she starts off the movie, like, saying, you got to stop fighting. And then he, like, clears out the whole hospital by fighting. But, like, I don't know. Is that arc completed? I don't know.
The ring was odd. Yeah, that is... I don't know what the significance of, the, of yeah, that was weird. Either. And there's, to some degree, it's one of those movies where it feels like... sort of important stuff got cut. My opinion of it is continuing to drop as we talk about it more. I might have to pull a Steven and switch up my rating again. But no, I mean, I still thought it was fine. It is fine. It has many, many flaws, but I was never, like, offended watching it. And there was stuff that I enjoyed well enough. So screw it.
I've come to, you know, I probably said this a while ago on the show, but like, I have never been into zombie movies, but I've come to like some of them when the zombie, because I've realized that most zombie movies treat zombie as less of like a genre than sort of a setting, right? Like, all right, we're gonna have the setting is gonna be zombies, but we're gonna Train to Busan is a very different story than like The Last of Us is a very different story than 28 Years Later, etc., right? Like, you can just kind of play around in this universe where there are zombies, but this, it was just like, this was a zombie movie. You know, it was just like the zombies are the main feature, and I don't know, nothing else worked for me.
Well, sorry we brought you back for this.
Yeah
well, that's all right. It reminds me of why I left.
Next time there's a martial arts film, I'll screen more thoroughly to make sure that it actually is a martial arts film before I call you up.
Yeah. Yeah. That's okay.
Well, we have to figure out what we are watching next episode, and I believe it's time for the Wheel of Death to pick a movie
for
us.
Wheel of Death.
Yeah. Oh, that's exciting.
Chris created this beautiful digital Wheel of Death, and it's still working so well. You did a great job, Chris.
Wow. You know, I don't have a joke for that.
All right. Let's give it a spin. Oh, okay. We are going to be watching Don't Listen.
That's a great name. That's a great name.
Off to a solid start.
That's
right?
The kind of film I would pick if I still had a vote. Don't Anything is a movie I am down to watch.
We have always said how we love an instructional title. Okay, here we go. This is actually kind of unusual for one of these Netflix blurbs, but it actually references a review. It references the news media. It says, Decider calls this suspenseful haunted house horror film a, quote, truly terrifying journey that masterfully creates an unsettling atmosphere, end quote.
Okay, that's setting the bar high.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid it'll disappoint, but I'm open. I want something to scare me.
It appears to be a Spanish film, so we'll be reading some more subtitles next week.
It'll be your least popular episode because the title is going to say, Don't Listen.
We'll see if the numbers bear that out. Until then, for every horror movie on Netflix, I'm Patrick.
I'm Allison with a Y.
I'm Chris.
Oh, the voice is back.
Oh, boy.
We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.